Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Maysoon.
Yes. Hey, Kate.
I just want to throw out a couple events.
Don't throw up.
And throw up. But first, let's throw out a couple events. Ready?
Yep, go. Do it.
January holds many secrets and mysteries to behold.
Behold them. What are you talking about? What kind of unicorn visited your office today?
Point is, there's going to be a show up over there at Root Division. They've got 3.9 Collective.
Oh,
remember
awesome.
Them, Rodney
sure
Ewing
do.
And Ramakano Arwisters?
Yeah.
And anyhow, they are having a show called Call for Beauty. And the opening reception is Saturday, January 14th. But it opens before that. It opens January 11th and runs through February 18th.
You know, I also just recently read that Rodney Ewing got the Recology residency.
Yep. All six of
actually,
the
a lot
people
of
were
stellar people.
My favorite.
Should
you
we
got Carrie
shout out?
Hott, Rodney Carrie Ewing, Beth Krebs,
Eric Scollin,
Kathy Lou. And Sabelle Lyle.
Was
that
Lyle.
Everybody?
I think so.
I memorized them.
It's a pretty stellar list.
Congratulations to all six of them.
When we see you in person, we will congratulate you directly.
Yes. Another event that I wanted to throw out there is Other Cinema.
Ooh, yeah, good.
That's going to be Saturday, December 17th. That's at ATA.
Organized by the infamous Craig Baldwin, longtime film aficionado, SF film aficionado maker.
Here's some of the things that are going to be there. Ready?
Ready.
You got Kate McCabe's You and I Remain. Scott Stark's Is It True What They Say?
Is it?
Mike Kushar's Sleepwalkers. Mm. And so on.
And some
there's
others.
Many others.
That's
but
awesome.
Three is my limit.
I love
that's
going
over
to
at
ATA.
ATA. Did I say the time?
No. December 17th at
8 p.m. That's $10.
That's a classic time for those guys.
$10 for that.
Have you gone to any shows there lately, Kate?
Not lately, but I've been to many. And
yeah.
Not before lately.
I went there recently for a film screening. And
where
had
they had live music.
They had live music and had a slightly odd interaction with someone by the bathroom.
Oh, I'd love to hear about that.
It's not a positive interaction.
Okay.
I don't know.
Bring it.
It was just,
how bad was it?
Well, no, it was just what happened was I was in the bathroom and as I walked out, this guy was going on some tirade about how vaginas like birth devils or something. Like he basically
say what now?
Made some like terrible comment about vaginas and how
well,
they were
like,
terrible. And
I don't understand.
Like, well, no fucking kidding.
Well,
neither
mean,
do I.
Like, if you were going to birth a devil,
he might
it
not,
would probably come out of a vagina.
It'd probably be male. Just saying.
Oh, you're on a tear today. Okay, go
no,
ahead.
No, I don't know if he said that exactly, but he did
so
say
he was
something.
Talking shit about
vaginas.
Okay.
To someone else. And I like just happened to open the door. And then the guy who was talking to was like, man, you said that the wrong time. And in my head was like, I was saying, well, you. There's never a right time to say something like that, honestly. But
oh, did
I
you just, say it?
I didn't because I'm not like fast enough in that way because my immediate response to situations like that is to like retreat, like get the fuck out.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, same.
Because it feels uncomfortable for me or unsafe even. So I just kind of went outside and was, I think I called Jimbo. I wasn't upset by it. I mean, I was, but I wasn't like obsessively upset.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a break. So I was outside.
And you were like,
and then the
wait,
guy,
let's do the phone call. Ring, the, ring.
I was like, hey, Jimbo.
Hey.
Hey.
This is Jimbo.
Hey, it's Maysoon. I just want to let you know I'm over at ATA.
Oh, that's good. The cats are singing.
And they just had this really weird interaction. I don't know what the
well,
hell
what
happened. Some guy was like,
I'll kick his ass.
Some guy, as I was walking out of the bathroom, said something about how vaginas were terrible.
Oh.
Oh, wait. What?
Jimbo would say something really clever then. About vaginas.
But then this is where this is hopefully he'd be like, I love vaginas. He probably wouldn't say that, but he might say something more witty about vaginas. Anyhow, but at the moment of this in this conversation, the guy who was talking to came out to apologize to me.
Oh my god.
But I was on the phone and was like, huh, what, who are, hold on Jimbo, wait, what's going on? Oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, okay, I'm talking to you. Can you hold on a second, Jimbo? Oh, wait, what happened with the cat? Oh, okay. So oh, wow. This is weird. Back and forth thing. So that guy felt like terrible.
Oh,
he was,
man.
And he had like come find me because he was like so upset by it. I was like, oh, that was very sweet of you. But that guy's a douchebag.
Oh, all right.
I think that is also
a truly unusual bathroom situation, Maysoon. I'm not going to lie. That is
so you, quite listener, strange. May have a different kind of unusual situation at ATA if you go to other cinema. Oh,
right. Yeah. Possible. That is not indicative of
the...
No,
it's not going
to
be that experience.
I've been there many times
unusual.
And never had a bathroom experience that was anything less than stellar. Another event coming up is on this Thursday, tomorrow, December 15th. Margaret Tedesco is
tomorrow
doing...
is not December 15th.
This goes up Wednesday.
What day is today?
Tuesday.
What's happening? What's the date? No, I'm serious. Isn't it like the second?
Today's the 13th.
Oh my God.
Are you serious?
Is it really?
Tomorrow, December 15th, that's Thursday, at 7 p.m., Margaret Tedesco is giving a talk at 500 Cab Street.
Oh, I want to go to that.
Wait,
let's can we
make
get in
a
there?
Blood oath and promise Wait, right now to go to it.
But can we get in there? I mean, it's a pretty small space.
Where well, the hell it says doors at 7, explore the house before the talk at 7:30. Okay. Ooh, we high-fived. Upon walking into Margaret Tedesco's apartment in 1995, the late artist Anne Chamberlain simply panned the living room that contained her archive and said, "These stacks seem to be well massaged." I don't know what that was a tone for that. Since the 1980s, artist and curator Tedesco has been developing an extensive stack of ephemera, zines, books, works on paper, and objects, with particular interest in poetry performance and queer phenomenology.
Mm, that's right.
For her presentation, Punctuation from the Archive, Tedesco will highlight a history of performance as well as ephemera and objects from her collection and discuss her relationship to her archives as collaborator. I'm very excited for this. So go to it, 500 Cap Street.
Her archive as collaborator?
Uh-huh. Her relationship to her archive as collaborator.
I like that.
If you've ever been to Second Floor Projects that's run by Margaret Tedesco.
There is an entire room dedicated.
It's a damn treat to get her to talk about some of the things in there. All the weird, strange
I really
things.
Want to go sift through that a little bit someday.
Right?
I don't know if she'll let us.
I feel like I need to like shrink down to the size of a borrower.
I know. Or at least her size. At least Margaret's size.
Anyhow.
I feel like you need to like, I want to send in like a academic proposal to her.
Those are my main points. And then there is also Oakland Underground United, a concert to benefit victims of the ghost ship fires.
Great.
That is on December 17th, Saturday, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. at Eli's Mile High Club. Do you want to know some of the people?
Sure.
You got Zach Bateman and the Coal Minds. The
nice.
Coal Minds.
Is that with a Z by any chance?
No.
Okay.
Just Blatherskite, Toxic Shock Syndrome, Georgia
That's
Sam,
real.
Mikey Ramen, and Luna Soul Music, hosted by Kylo Montez. Go to it and get to it. Okay, Maysoon, what else is happening in your world?
I have been talking with a lot of people. I had an artist come into the museum last week. She's an awesome, amazing person and thinker, and we were talking a lot about the sort of communal psyche of the Bay Area right now and how I feel like we're all kind of being like slightly emotionally battered.
Yes.
And just how challenging it feels.
Or severely also, I think, on the range of slightly to severely emotionally battered.
Yeah, right. And we were having this conversation about how part of me, I know it's sort of doomsday-ish, and I'm usually not that. I'm usually pretty optimistic, but I do, unfortunately, I worry that it's not going to get better. You know
I've
what I
been
mean?
Feeling lately that my general view of the world has shifted from a perspective that is like, oh, in general, like life is good and people are good, and you have like punctuation and dark clouds of like times where it's like bad or like, you know, people go wrong.
Yeah.
But now I feel more that life is like a shit cake and the good parts are just like a thin veneer of icing over a cloud of garbage shits.
Do you feel like the good parts are now going to be, I'm hearing you on that and I totally kind of agree right now.
Uh-huh.
But in the reverse, do you feel like the good things that happen or the good parts that appear are brighter and stronger than they would have been if they were, if you had the different perspective?
That like the garbage world of unmitigated pain and suffering, we didn't have that, then
yeah,
you wouldn't notice the good things.
Not that you wouldn't notice, but they maybe wouldn't feel like, I feel like for the longest time the bad things that happened in the world were like really bright and loud for me, like, oh my god, I can't believe it.
Uh-huh.
And the good things were more subdued, and now almost like you were saying that maybe there's a, it's like a shift.
Oh,
where,
and now when there's a good thing, it's like
more like loud and bright and
oh,
versus, and then all the shit is,
I think then you're still in the mind frame of the first mind frame I described. I think it's a little numbing for things to be really bad. I feel like many people I talk to now are kind of like, man,
really good.
I feel really numb.
Are you? You can't get numb by things being good, can you? That's terrible.
But let's punctuate our shit cake with some bright shining stars.
Oh, but I was just going to say something else that's somewhat dark, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, right.
With this person I was talking with, she said something about how we were talking about like this general feeling of like mourning, you know, with like Ghost Ship and with Trump and all the crap that's going to happen and come down with his presidency potentially or probably, possibly. And she was saying how she has, in her family tradition and in her cultural tradition, that there's more of like there's like a history of mourning, like, or like mourning as a part of like a daily life or daily action, or which to me was really interesting because I was like, I don't, in my family growing up, like anything sad would like was totally repressed, you know, like
yeah,
the mourning was not, even though I have like in my both my dad and mom's side, there's certainly good reason for mourning and certainly like very tragic things that have happened that were always just like never talked about.
Yeah.
And it's this, and it, we just had an interesting like, oh, like just not realizing that. I was like, wow, embracing mourning. Okay. Interesting. Anyhow,
are you going to do that? Winter solstice is coming.
I just think it was a little bit of an eye opener, and maybe that's one way of like kind of emotionally trying to actually deal with it and still be functioning, you know,
right,
and not completely shut down.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it was just something that was it was a great conversation.
Oh, I have a good thing.
Yes.
Nia King's new book, Queer and Trans Artists of Color, volume 2 is out. And
very
I
cool.
just got it.
Will you share the link with everyone?
Uh-huh. Great. There'll be a link in the underworld. We had her on the show many
early days,
and her book is awesome. It's got Tina Takamoto was one of it's a collections of interviews.
Are they sort of like new artists from the first volume, or are they continued conversations?
Because it's also a podcast. P.S. If you're not listening to that podcast, We Want the Airwaves with Nia King. You should be listening to that with Queer and Trans Artists of Color. And so this volume is new interviews that were done after the first book came out.
Yeah.
And she's on tour.
She's on tour.
Keep an eye out. And I was reading it the other day and I was like, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out. That could be a good Christmas or holiday present.
Yeah.
For a loved one.
I already got you something. Sorry.
Oh, I have it. I have it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You're like, I've already got it, Mason. That's how cool I am. She even flipped her hair. Can you believe it?
I did no such thing.
You did.
And
you
I
totally
never
did
would.
A full hair flip.
What's another good thing?
There's lots of good things out there. One of my colleagues just got married today. It was so sweet.
Should we say a congratulations?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Congratulations, Pine Tree. Would love to congratulate Dina Chalabi and Lex. Lex Martin. I was
nice.
Like, what's Lex's last name?
You did it.
We are very
and
happy for
dog.
You.
I think they have a dog.
And their dog, Kudu.
Man, you nailed it.
Kudu. That's his nickname. I don't remember his full name.
So mega congratulations.
Mega congrats.
And it congratulations to everyone
I
out
cried.
There.
That's how happy I
embarking
was.
Embarking on a journey, a lifelong journey,
yeah,
or a short trip style journey. We congratulate you. What else we got? I gave an artist talk. Oh my god. Okay, here's a story that can lighten the
cockles
of your heart. I never told this on the show.
Oh, good.
Nice. Can I just tell it?
Yeah, just tell it.
Okay, so let's just say this, okay? I had a screening at some point in my life. I'm not going to say when, where, who was involved, because I don't want to incriminate anyone.
Oh, uh-oh.
Okay, and after the screening, okay, now the screen, what I was screening was this, some videos from the series of videos that I have called Required Skimming, where they're all based on like art theory.
Historical texts.
Yeah, and all kinds, like Rosalind Krauss and blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, point is, after the screening, there was a Q&A. And I have to tell you, at the time, I was in therapy. And before this screening, I went to my therapist. And anytime I have to do any kind of public thing, it is like really, I have the most intense anxiety.
It's pretty intense, people. Be really kind to Kate when she's doing a public speech. I'm
you may as well not even be talking to me at all if you're talking to me right before I have to present something, because I am in like a mental state where I'm not in my body.
Anyhow,
point is, so I had just shared the day before the screening with my therapist that my greatest fear, like, we were like, okay, what's the worst case scenario that could happen, you know, like kind of trying to be this. Like, you know, I'm not gonna die. Like, I feel like they, whenever they say that kind of thing, they're like
how bad can it really be,
right? Exactly. And you're like, oh well, I guess the worst case isn't that bad. Well, anyhow, so I'm like, well, the worst case scenario was that we were gonna have the Q&A and someone in the audience was gonna stand up and ask a question, question in quotes, and basically be like, what right do you have to even be talking about this material?
Yeah,
because like one of the videos was also about like Plato, and like I couldn't go toe to toe with somebody about Plato and Socrates.
Well, no,
and
I don't know many people who could actually, so but maybe you're not alone in
maybe
that, Kate.
Whoever can is in the audience. So anyhow, so you know, I tell my therapist all this and blah 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 blah. So come the night of the screening, it's time for the Q&A. And there were two screenings in a row. So like the one before, this was the second one. The one before went totally fine. Mm-hmm. It was nothing but softballs. Everyone was super supportive.
Aww.
So then...
Oh, I can't wait. You're so building it up so well.
So then comes the second Q&A. And sure enough, and like, you know, we'd already had some questions. They were really chill, you know, and people are... It's a small theater, so it's like people are sitting down.
Sorry, where was this theater?
I can't say.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so anyhow. So then comes this person, an individual, stands up, and like no one had stood to answer their question, stands up over in the aisle. And they're like, it starts right off, and they're like, I'm from the East Coast. Anyhow, so, and she's like, Rosalind Krauss was one of my mentors, and Judith Butler. And I just like, she didn't really ask a question. She was just basically like, who are you, what is your background, and essentially like, what right do you have? I mean, that wasn't her exact words, but it was just, it just went on and on. Fortunately, I wasn't the only artist, you know, who was presenting that night. So there were a bunch of us up there, and another artist just kind of jumped in and started answering the question.
Thank God.
To just be like, hey, yeah, like whatever, like I went to grad school, but this is my fucking background, like whatever. Because it was a very like,
was the question focused to you, like,
yes,
asked to you?
Yes, because I had a video with Rosalind Krauss, like, mm-hmm, addressing a Rosalind Krauss, mm-hmm, text, so it's like no one else did.
Yeah.
So like, and anyhow, so they didn't really answer her question, so she starts asking it again.
Oh no.
She's like, I just want to know, like, so
what do you do?
Well, I was just like, I was like ready to kind of formulate an answer to this question, but I didn't want to just be like, because it seemed like what she was looking for was like, what's your education? You know what I mean? And I didn't want to be like, I have an MFA. Meow, meow. You know, I don't want to like fall into some weird
trap. Yeah.
Anyhow, so the moderator of the Q&A just basically like shut her down. And one of the other artists has like a lot of drag performers in their videos. And so a bunch of drag queens were in the back of the audience and they were just basically like, no. Like everyone in the audience was turned against
this
questioner.
You can't be asking.
Yeah, so she sat down. It's a lady. I wasn't going to give that detail, but the questioner was late.
You said that because I just responded, girl.
So anyhow, all I could think about after that was just like, okay, I have to just maintain calm
now. Total composure.
And I was like so intense, like, what are my hands doing? What is my face doing? I was like, is my eye starting to twitch? Because my anxiety was like through the roof. And anyhow, the rest of the Q&A went like, you know, fine. But I was like so stuck on this one girl that asked this question that I fucking followed her.
Oh, shit. I'm surprised she didn't come up to you afterwards.
I know, right?
You'd expect someone like that who like,
could be like, I need an answer.
I really want an answer. I would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, I just didn't know what the hell was going on. So I like went and chit chatted with her after.
Good job.
Uh huh. And I was just like, you know, are you feeling like I'm disrespecting these writings or whatever? And you feel like blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, it turned out she was, I believe, very intoxicated.
Oh, what? Really?
Because she just smelled like booze hardcore.
At a fucking lecture?
Well, it was like a screen. It was screening. Nighttime.
Yeah, okay, so you have a couple beers or whatever.
Yeah, they were serving beer there. So anyhow, and two, she had just moved to San Francisco like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And so she was basically like, I think the thing was like, she's like, I'm 28. I just got my MFA. And it's like, why can't I get a show?
Oh,
that was like basically
is that
thing.
What she said to you?
Pretty much. She's like, I just can't get a foot in the door.
She's like, I actually know Rosalyn Krauss and I couldn't get a show.
But then I think the other thing was I don't think she knew Rosalyn Krauss. I was assuming she was like from Manhattan and went to like whatever SVA or something, but she was not from Manhattan.
That. What a weird way to start your.
This might be too much detail. I never talked about this on the show because Katie told me I shouldn't talk about it, but I feel like it's been long enough now.
Why did Katie think? Oh, because people might be able to identify.
Maybe things have cooled down. I have no ill will towards this person. We ended up hugging at the end of our conversation.
Really?
Yeah, and I actually felt like. I think
better.
Like as far as like
you conquered your fear.
Well, yeah, as far as having to live the worst case scenario of your like performance anxiety,
you did it.
It really wasn't that bad. And so, she was just going through a rough time of her own. And I hope that after
look
that
at you, there's compassion and everything.
She was like, I don't understand like Bay Area culture.
Oh, wow.
Anyhow,
anything else on that? I'm kind of curious.
I mean, I kind of get that. Do you remember when you first moved here and did you have any like culture shock or like?
I loved it. I loved it. But I moved
immediately.
Here, I moved here 15 years ago and walking down Valencia Street was amazing. Everyone looked different shapes and sizes, different kind of like, you know, different clothing style, different hair, like everyone was totally, I was just like, I like literally cried.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
So moved by just everyone being what they wanted to be here.
Yeah.
I also
love the Bay Area.
I'm going to cry.
Oh my God. But I remember when I moved here, I mean, I had been here because I have like family in the area and stuff. But like when I moved here to go to grad school and I would go to like art shows and like Art Murmur and stuff, I would just be like, God, everyone's really high.
Oh, yeah.
But like, you know, after a while, like some of the people that I was like, God, these people are freaks are now some of the people I love more than anything in the world.
People.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think maybe she was just going through that East Coast, West Coast transition.
I mean, I'm sure the East Coast has its own scene, too. I would imagine.
Well,
New York certainly does.
I think everyone just scowls all day and you can't get used to the smiles.
Oh, my God. I just couldn't stand it.
JK.
Like I couldn't stand like in New York, you had to be like a tall, skinny woman who only wore black. It was terrible. I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I'm none of that. Sorry, so I make sure I'm not actually wearing.
You got
all
your
black
magenta
right
and green pants. So anyhow, that was that experience. If that person is listening to the show, which I'm sure is not the case, I just want you to know that.
Welcome
I
to
hope
the Bay
that
Area.
You're doing okay. I hope that you had. And then I was telling a friend about it after, and she was like, "She needs to really experience the Bay Area, like the real." Go like chill out with somebody and like microdose some acid and like you know what I mean, like go fly a kite in Chrissy Field.
Oh,
right.
Yeah
go on a Shaping San Francisco tour.
Mm-hmm. I have friends that lead that tour.
Hell yeah.
Do you feel like you have less sort of staggering?
No, not at all. It didn't help anything. No, although I don't know. I gave an artist talk a few days ago, and
how'd that go? That was with your people.
I think I was a lot less stressed out just because how horrible everything is now, and it kind of put things in perspective for me anyway, that it's like it doesn't fucking matter.
I hear you on that.
I saw a show at Ratio 3 and it was really
weird.
Should
we talk about SantaCon?
No, it's terrible. Fucking just to say that we hate it and it should end.
Have you ever gone on their website? There's like a whole list of rules. It's like, don't be drunk in public. It's obnoxious. Like, that's sort of like kind of gives you the whole thing. I'm like, in my mind, do these people know what SantaCon is? Like, what it actually
the
is?
The whole point is to be drunk in public.
That's pretty much the whole fucking point.
To traumatize children. I was actually out on accident in San Francisco during SantaCon to see Keisha Lucas's show over at the Growlery. Beautiful work by Keisha Gorgeous Lucas work. If you can go over there, weird place.
I don't think it has public hours, so you kind of need to let Keisha know.
Just knock. Can I just say about this weird Ratio 3 show?
Sure.
There's a weird show up right now at Ratio 3, and it's like photography from Japan, and one of the artists that they have, okay, and I went and I was like, what is this shit?
Oh, come on. You did not.
There was like some Polaroids of some like women like tied up and shit, and I was like, what's going on, Ratio 3? Because they show that other guy, Ryan McGinley, you know that? Mm-hmm. And that's like weird. Because I was like, what's going on, Ratio 3? Are you weird? What's your deal? Are you objectifying women? And then I looked up this artist. So his name is Nobuyoshi Araki. Oh, yeah. And he was very interesting. He like did all these weird photos with his wife.
He's a really famous artist, actually. Yeah. We have work on view right now in the museum.
There you have it. And
We don't have that series up.
There's some real sexual shit. There's like him with his face next to a lady's vagina looking like he's a vampire.
Whoa.
Anyhow, he was married to his wife for like a million years. And I think she's in a lot of the work. And I was like, that's beautiful.
Mm. And so then changed your perspective.
Kind of. And then there was like also a note on his Wikipedia page about that he had this cat and that the cat died.
And then you really started to like him.
And I was like, well, if he had a cat, there can't be anything bad. Oh, his cat's name was Chiro.
Chiro. You should go see the show downstairs.
So I changed my kind of mind about him.
You know, we were having this conversation, myself and a few friends were having this conversation this week about, it seems common that you can dislike a work of art initially
and gesture with that hand
and spend time with it and come around to it or learn more about it and come around to it.
I feel like if I just have a little sweet tidbit about something, can come.
If you spend a little extra time looking and trying to like discover and observe or explore. Are there any cases for you, I couldn't think of any, where you've had the opposite happen?
Sure.
Where you've loved a work and then you've spent more time with it, you've learned about it, and you're like, damn, I hate that thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
George Baselitz, I hate. And I would have been, didn't have any issue with it, not that I loved it to begin with, but then he had this whole thing about how women can't paint. And so I'm like, fuck that guy. I don't get, even if he was my favorite. Although Thomas Eakins, I still love his work, but when I was studying about him in school, I immediately loved it a ton and then like kind of started hating it because he was like, no woman will ever make great sculpture or great surgery. Like, if you find out someone's a misogynist, it kind of turns you off a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's lots of times where you're kind of like, oh, I should kind of separate the autobiographical shit from what I think about the work.
That's a whole Miles Davis argument.
Yeah, but George Baselitz, it was like, maybe part of it though is that I never loved his work to begin with, so it was easy to kind of let it go.
Okay, so those are both instances where you've learned specific things about the person.
Mm-hmm.
But what about where you just spent more time looking? Have you ever just sort of been like, you know what? Actually, now that I look at this a little bit longer, I don't think it's a very good painting.
That's interesting.
Like where you're not getting any external information. Because here at the museum with our guides, we spend a lot of time talking about the value of looking at work and really
and
spending time
purely
looking.
On aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
None that I can think of. I used to have teachers in undergrad that would say, the longer you look at a piece of artwork that you made, the more problems and mistakes you'll see. Sure. And the longer you look at someone else's work, the more you appreciate it.
My friend and I were talking about trying to find a situation, like to actively explore if we could, you know, can, a situation
can
where...
Can you start not liking work?
Yeah, I mean, not like, I don't want to like that work anymore, but like paying more attention, I guess, to whether or not you start your opinion or ideas
well,
start
I guess
to shift.
Like, I feel like the work you need to find to have that happen are ones that like are like jazzy and like catch your eye immediately. Yeah. Where you're like, whoa, this is doing something to my brain
like
right
a Warhol,
now.
Maybe.
Yeah, or like that one old, really oldie, was he in the Renaissance or where he made all the faces out of vegetables?
Don't talk about the Renaissance.
The vegetable guy.
Arcimboldo?
Yeah.
No. No.
You could never stop loving him.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to think of ones that for me are like, whoa, this is like right in my eye socket. You know what I mean? But... there's none. I mean, I really, really, really loved Salvador Dali when I was in high school. Like, that was my favorite artist.
So awesome. Yeah. I think he appeals to the young mind.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're like smoking weed and you're like, fuck
this
yeah,
shit.
Shit's melting. There's giant ants. I'm into that. And he has such a bigger than life personality.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
He was such an eccentric. Yeah. All the footage or pictures you see of him.
He was
like, who's this guy? I could be anything.
He had some quote that I really loved in high school that was like the two things that made me a great artist were number one being Spanish and number two being Salvador Dali.
He's like me and me, basically.
And how, yeah, but I don't love him as much now. Maybe him. Maybe I feel like Salvador Dali's paintings haven't really, they don't do the same visual magic for me as they did when I was in high school.
Yeah. Next time you see one, spend a little time. See if that's
true. You got one in here?
I think so.
Well, that's a good one. Okay, let's just end
it
now, Maysoon, before we go back into the hole.
Don't go in the hole.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you everyone for listening. Please send us any events that you want us to shout out. Also, you know, we always take contributions and we pay for those. If you have some audio you want to send us or an interview you want to send us, we might have something we just got from Ethan. Sent us some stuff. Maybe we'll put that in next week's episode. Anyhow, if you have something you want to send us, send it to congratulationspinetree@gmail.com or you can call us or text us 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. I feel like people need to get on our Facebook page more, and then we need to like have a little community there and like chit chat and do trivia questions.
Oh.
What if I do little trivia questions on there?
You can. I want to though too.
Okay, cute. I think you're an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So get on our Facebook thing. I don't know how to get there. You just go on Facebook and search for Congratulations Pine Tree.
Is that one word or three words?
Three words.
Just checking.
Maybe if you do all of them together, it'll be fine.
You'll find it.
Anyhow, from the bridge.
To the other bridge that I can see right out this window.
To the island in between. I can't see shit anywhere. But not the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.